basically reminds Christians,
I will be reading from 2 Timothy, the third chapter, verses 14 through 16, and I'll be reading this morning from the NIV. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness.
Thank you, Rich. Appreciate that reading. We are blessed by God to be alive at this time and this place. I want to welcome our visitors. Hope you'll fill out a card that we can acknowledge your presence. I would encourage and thank you for your giving in many different ways to many different missions and many different things. Someone asked me recently about Fred Abraham. You may remember Fred. I met him in camp in Ireland. He is from Zimbabwe. He was converted through World Bible School. And because he was a diabetic in Zimbabwe, he passed away at about 44 years of age. And in some of the cuts we made, we were helping his widow some, and since those cuts were made, several of the congregation here have helped his widow each month. I got an email from Fred's widow. It said, it reminds me of this, because we come to church, we go on mission trips, then we walk to church on mission trips. We come to places where air conditioning is non-existent as you go to church, and we're very comfortable, very blessed by this. And also in our country, we're very blessed. She said, help us pray for our country. Sometimes we go without 2 or 3 days without water or electricity. You know, not everyone has the blessings we have, and we are blessed by God to encourage you to use your blessings for the kingdom of God. It was out of your hands. You had no choice where you were born. You had nothing to do with being born here and then being born there. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I want you to understand how blessed we are and what we can do with them that others cannot do. Next Sunday in our Bible class, we'll do a follow-up for my teaching on salvation, a sin unto death, from 1 John 5. And I hope that you're coming to Bible class and enjoying. I'll take your encouragement and your suggestions for our next topic after in the middle of August that we'd start after this one of salvation. Our first slide reminds us of the truth that as we gather here today, that somebody died last night, that they're not alive today, and their families are grieving there. And we maybe take this for granted that every day we get up and I'm alive, there's another day. We have a precious gift from God of life. And no one's guaranteed tomorrow. No one's guaranteed this week or next week, although we live like that and we're used to that. We're not lucky. We're blessed by God to have another day of life. And with that, what does God want us to do with our life? There is a God, and He's the one that's given us life. Not science, not Dr. Fauci, not Washington, not a politician. And there in that context, I want us to feel and understand gratitude and blessing. And realize that life is precious, and then go for it, make it full. Make it real full. Really live, so that you don't look back and say, well, I wish I'd done this. I wish I'd done that. Now is the time to do it. In that context, how about those sons? Huh? Are you excited? Do you think it's going to be 4? Well, I don't know. Somebody said, well, they said, you know, that San Antonio, they don't even play in San Antonio. You know, they said, well, you know, the other team's going to win tonight. Well, that's why they play the games, you know. But if you look at this topic we're looking at today, the Bible, and let's say somebody changes the 24-second clock and they make it 2 minutes. And somebody decides that every basket should count for 6 points. I don't know what you have, but you don't have basketball. There are certain guidelines and rules and restrictions, and they play under those guidelines and under those restrictions. Now, they have officials that are supposed to call the fouls, right? You know? And some guys push it, or some referees allow them to really play the game. But again, there's a set guidelines that they follow. The Bible is the Word of God from us about how to live life, by basic instruction before leaving Earth. My wife kind of likes me. I don't know. I go on a trip, and I go without her sometimes, and I can find notes in a Bible. I can find notes in socks. You know, I can find notes all over the place. Now, she's not doing that because she has to do it. God wants us to know about Him and who He is, and that's what His Word is. Sometimes we have the idea, I think, like we took a couple of our grandkids to Florida, and I was getting on to them once, one of them. I think it was time to go to bed. Nothing major, you know. And I said to him, you know, you're good kids. And I'll never forget the shocked look on his face. Yeah, you're good kids. I wouldn't take you if you're not good kids. And we talked for a few minutes about that. And I think that's how we approach God sometimes. Oh, you know, I'm the black sheep of the... No. God knows all about us and loves us and wants to have a relationship with us. We're the ones that have some serious feelings about our sins, but God demonstrated His love for us and that Christ died on a cross for us. And there in that context, we are reminded of the truth that God loves us, that God is on our side. Now, that doesn't mean everything we do, God's going to let us go to heaven, but the basic principles of life is that God has given you and I life and wants us to live with Him forever. We just happened to turn the TV on this morning, and Richard Branson, did you see that this morning? Some billionaire who's got too much money, doesn't know what to do, went up into space this morning. He built he started Virgin Airlines and started Virgin Records, actually, then Virgin Airlines, and now I forget what this one's called, but it's Virgin Something Express. And so he built a ship and a rocket on top of it, and they went up into space this morning. You could see it on TV as they came down for about 30 minutes. And he's lining up people to buy tickets for this. And I forget if it's $250 million or $250,000. I know you all are going to line up and get one of those, and you can go into space. Now, all of the things they had to do for that are based on the world that God has made. That the sun and the moon and everything that we have is going to be just exactly where it's at. The principles of gravity, all of those things are based on the truth and the scientific thing that God built. And because God is consistent and God is there, they can fly airplanes or fly, if you got too much money, try to go into space, whatever it is. The things that we can do is amazing. But as we do that, sometimes our view of things is wrong. We focus on the wrong things. I have no idea what it's like to be a millionaire, a billionaire in that sense. And he's selling tickets. He's already sold 600 at that price, by the way, to go into space. And you're only going for about 15 minutes. So pay attention with that. But at the same time, as was already said in our prayer, in our own country in California, they've decided not to prosecute crimes of theft below $750. So you've probably seen on the news people walking into Walgreens. They got a garbage bag and they're just loading it up. The security guard tries to stop him and he just pushes them aside and they walk out the door. Walgreens has closed 17 stores in California because they will not enforce the law. They will not prosecute anybody for theft. And as soon as they do arrest them, they send them out the next day. We talked in class a little bit why people don't respect or think that God will do anything to them. Part of the reason is nothing is done in our home and nothing is done in our nation for crime. I don't want to depress you too much, but this, we need to see the truth of what's happening. You see the news, right? You watch the videos of this guy. Well, this is just as was mentioned earlier also, Joshua 21:25. There was no king in Israel, and every person did what was right in their own eyes. That's about where we're at right now. You can't tell me it's wrong. The Bible is absolute truth. Doesn't matter if you believe it or not. It's still true. I got my compass out yesterday to make sure where north is. We've done it in so much time, I'm not going to ask you. But north is exactly that way. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter if you agree with me. It doesn't matter if you don't like it. It doesn't matter if you think it's south. North is that way. It's absolute. It's not based on what I think or what I feel or what I want. That's where the Bible is. It gives us basic instruction from God. If you notice in our reading, He said that all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correction, for training in righteousness. What does that mean? It means in the mind of God, He started and then He formed these words, or whatever the right word is there for that, and gave it to men. And men wrote them down, and they compiled the Bible, and you read the Bible, or you hear someone preach the Bible, and they go into your mind, and the words that started in the mind of God are in your mind. That God wants to communicate with us and instruct us how to live. Here in this context, we pride ourselves on our Christian heritage, founded by people who trusted and believed in God. Yet last week in Chicago, over 100 people were killed, a 14-year-old girl. And the news media likes to blame, you know, race, and this is black-on-black crime. What you do not see is someone taking responsibility saying, what can we do to stop it? We just watch it weekend after weekend after weekend. Clearly we can pray. But no one, it seems, is looking for solutions. Here's the point. Rather than just blame somebody, rather than just try to say, what is the real cause? What can we do about it? Let's take some responsibility. Nothing is happening. Our topic is the Bible. What our country needs more than anything else is the Word of God. Now, this is not, it's hard to compare this, the worst time in human history. I don't know how you judge that, because I don't know what it was like to live under Nebuchadnezzar or live under Pharaoh. But times are not perfect. There's a lot of struggles. And there's only one thing that can turn this around, and that's the Word of God. And what did Jesus say? Did Jesus say, what you need to go do is go out and start a marketing campaign? You know, find a good phrase and market it to the community. No. He said, he talked about salt. He talked about light. He talked about leaven. He talked to the people to say, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. And his plan was for human beings to touch other human beings' lives, and it changed the world in the first century. Rome was ruthless and brutal. And 14 of the 15 Roman emperors were known homosexuals. And yet there was places in the Roman Empire where they were even too wild or evil for the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire thought they'd gone too far. But in that explosive environment, the light, the salt, and the leaven of people surrendering their lives to God, doing His will, reading His word, living according to His principles, turned the world upside down. There's quite clear evidence that can be done again. But all you have to do is open our Bibles, see what God says, and surrender to Him. Because it's based on what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that we preach Jesus as Lord. What does that mean? That means we'll do what Jesus says to do, we'll be what Jesus says to be, we'll avoid what Jesus tells us to avoid. And we try to surrender and obey His commands and follow Him. That we believe what we do impacts our lives. The Bible tells us all kinds of things that are 3,000 years old. It's almost like reading the newspaper. Proverbs 13:15, the way of the transgressor is hard. We see people today looking for life at all the wrong places. Drugs and alcohol, sex, stealing. They think that's going to give them life. It doesn't. It brings death. Or people like today read Psalm 23, people trying to serve God. And reading Psalm 73, they think, look at the world. What good is it that I'm serving God? I mean, I'm crazy. And the feelings of the psalmists who said, I almost lost my faith in God by looking at the world, said things like, look at the wicked. They're always at ease. They have increased of wealth. Surely in vain I've kept my heart pure and washed my hands in innocence. Too often we look at the world and think, look at them lying, cheating, stealing. What am I doing? Maybe that's the right way to go. It's not. And the psalmist in Psalm 73 said in verse 19, until I entered, considered their final end, and entered the sanctuary of God. When he brings God into the picture and the truth that we will all stand before Jesus Christ in judgment, then all of that changes. Everything we see on the news, everything we see maybe in our families, our own life, we are brought with the truth that every human being will stand before Jesus Christ to give account. They're not getting away with it. It's frustrating to watch a politician lie, right? I just turn the TV off sometimes. But they're not getting away with anything. People think they are. You know, I've spent hours on the phone talking to a married Christian who decided he wanted to go clubbing and trying to explain to him why that would upset his wife. You know, we think we're the exception. We think we can do what we feel. This is what I think. This is what I think is a good idea. A lot of what we think are not good ideas. They're maybe prompted by the devil. How about the pandemic? During the pandemic, did we get closer to God or farther away? Did you come face to face with the truth that, you know, I could die, which is true. We will one day. I have no idea. I'm not a prophet or the son of a prophet, but we will die one day. And when we do understand that, then hopefully we'll live different things day by day. Buy some insurance, right? Yeah, he sells insurance. I mean, honestly, how many people die without a will? How many people die without insurance? Why? Well, that's going to happen to me sometime, and then boom, they get caught by surprise. How do we approach people? I got a letter yesterday. Don't know the lady. Talked about evangelism before. Somebody named Pittman. They're with the Jehovah's Witnesses. And they're telling me about an upcoming event that they're having. A little handwritten letter. What her name on it. I'm sure she bought her name from a list. Here's our website, jw.org, and here's a video that we're going to be showing. She is showing and trying to reach out for evangelism. Do you have the truth? Is she doing more to reach others than we are? I don't know her. She believes that that's the right way. I hope that we're not going to be part of a church that we can't read about in the Bible. Jehovah's Witnesses began about 150 years ago. I don't want to be ugly, but I want to be clear. Do the research. Baptist Church started in 1605. Mormon Church started about in the 1800s. Pentecostal Church started in the 1800s. Do you want to be part of a church that's not in the Bible? Or do you want to be part of a church that's only been around for a couple hundred years? Or do you want to be part of a church that God says in His book, this is how we come to Christ? This is how we find salvation. You see, in Russia, we had to start out, do you believe in God? You know, we couldn't just start baptism. We said, do you believe in God? No, that was a common response. No, I don't believe in God. Some people would say that they did. After they said that, we'd say, well, do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? And after getting those two nailed down, we talk about, do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And then we can go forward with Scripture, trying to show them. I don't want us to be discouraged about our country or our world, because God is on the throne. It's easy to get discouraged and look around as the psalmist did in Psalm 73. As he said, I almost lost my faith in God. It'd be nice if everybody served God and pleased God and did what's right, but that's not what we see in the Bible. Even the Old Testament. We do not need to guide ourselves by our thoughts and our wisdom and our ideas. Jeremiah, 2,700 years ago, in Jeremiah 17:9 said, the heart is deceitful among all things and desperately sick. Who could understand it? That's man guiding himself. Or Jeremiah 9:7-9, see, I will refine and test them, for what else can I do because of the sin of my people? Their tongue is a deadly arrow. It speaks with deceit. Each mouth speaks cordially to his neighbor, but in his heart he sets a trap. Should I not punish them for this, declares the Lord? Should I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? Do we think this will not happen to us? What is he saying? To a group of people who were in a relationship with God, Old Testament. And as the Old Testament people of God, they were living wickedly. And God says, look at what they're doing. Should I not punish them? Do you have a mother and father? Do you ever not do what your mom or your father told you to do? Did your mom and dad say, oh, that's all right. It does not my mom or dad. And God is our Father. And here is people under the Old Testament in a relationship with them. He's saying to them, should I not punish them for this? Do we think this will not happen to us or our country? I don't know the future, and I hope it's bright. But the answer for our future is Jesus Christ. And the motivation for us to reach out to others should be, look what's happening all around us. People are looking for life at all the wrong places. It's our hope for the future to seek God and His Word. Maybe the pandemic will make people stop and think, you know, I'm going to die. Maybe I ought to look about God. What does He say in His Bible? You know more Bible than most of the people you interact with. They may not even be able to find the Sermon on the Mount or know what book it's in. You don't have to know all the answers. You just need to know God. Our next slide this morning reminds us that the Bible is the power to change people's lives. One reason that people try to get rid of it is because it does work. It's not like Cinderella or some fairy tale that's a nice little story. It changes people's lives, as Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God, it's the power of God and salvation." People don't try to get rid of something that's fake. Our next slide, it's obvious, but we need to say it. Your opinion and my opinion are not equal to the Word of God. Well, you know, the Apostle Paul gave his opinion in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and my opinion is as good as his. No, it's not. He's an inspired apostle. Our next slide, again, reminds us there's a standard for right and wrong. We are not going to change our standard simply because we think we're the smartest that's ever lived, or we finally got it right and everybody before us did it wrong. That's not true. There's not a standard for today and a standard for 100 years ago and a standard for 1,000 years ago. It's the eternal Word of God. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away." It was a sin 1,000 years ago. It's still a sin today. Isaiah says, 2,700 years ago, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Woe to those who are heroes at drinking wine and champion at mixing drinks, who acquit the guilty for a bribe and deny justice to the innocent." In our next slide, again, heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus said, but my words will never pass away. This is the eternal Word of God. It started in the mind of God, and it could go to our minds, but we must read it. Pat Boone tells in his book that he hadn't been to church in a long time, had been following God, decided that's about the time he decided he could speak in tongues. Not scientific, but to me, he wants to reach out to God, but God doesn't work quite that way. Psalm 119 in our next slide reminds us the truth. Psalm 119 is a great psalm. It's all about the Bible. It is the longest chapter of the Bible. But look at the writer, David, I think, writes about how good the Word of God is. Let me give you a couple verses. "Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. They do nothing wrong, they walk in His ways. You've laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees." Here's the writer saying, God's word is right. I wish I were following it as I should. There's honesty and humility, as we talked about today. Again, he describes, "Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law." This is the eternal Word of God. God's Word gives us life. Just like basketball, people must compete according to the guidelines. Even with God, we must follow His rule. Our last slide reminds us again also the truth, that every person here will stand before Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ mentions this and describes that there will be a day that He'll separate the sheep from the goats. The Bible, from beginning to end, describes the Lamb's Book of Life. And the sad truth is there'll be some people whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It can happen to any of us. But on that day, every person will be there. Famous, politicians, rich, poor, common, neighbors, people that you've heard about from Hitler, Stalin, you know, Caesar. They'll all be there. Jesus Christ will be there and will be there to give account of our lives. And as I said before, then they may realize on that day that no one is going to get away with anything. And the worst thing that anything of us can happen is to just put it off and not prepare for that day. We live in a time when people in America think that balancing the budget and sticking to the country's constitution is radical. Well, that's where we live. We're also living in a time where people think following the Word of God and doing what God says, why, that's old-fashioned. It may be. But it produces life, Jesus said, the abundant life. Everything there is a God in heaven. He's on the throne. Everything we think is not a good idea. Everyone here today will be there. No one will be late. No one will be missing. No one will say, oh, I forgot. I was supposed to be there. I didn't make it. But in that context, I guess our next slide, what do? We believe in God. We need help as a Christian. God has been doing this for thousands of years. One lady, in describing raising her children all by herself, and this is the truth of this scripture from Isaiah, "For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not, I am the one who helps you." When you look at the news, when you look at evil in your family, when you see evil in yourself, when you see evil in your country or the world, turn to God. Hold his hand. Let him lead you and follow him. Don't try to run with all of that yourself. Don't try to solve that by yourself. God is on the throne. God is willing to take your right hand and teach you and walk with me and help us through this. The God who helped Joseph. And look at the dysfunction in that family. His father didn't intend to get two wives, wound up with four. His brothers want to kill him, or the God who took Daniel from Israel to Babylon and helped him through decades of different rulers. God can help his people in difficult times. God has a history of helping Christians in the first century. Here's a lady, I need to read it. She described raising her children by herself. "The Lord provided so faithfully. One of the things that I have learned is that God has all the resources I need. I had a real concern about raising my children myself. I prayed for a lot of guidance and wisdom and strength. I read the verse that says, he'll gently lead those who are with the young. I took that to heart and knew it was from the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." God is willing to shepherd us, comfort us, protect us, and lead us. He's in charge, not us. His words are his love notes to us, that he's on our side. Again, I'll never forget the shocked look on my grandson's face when I said, "You're a good kid." Because he knew he was a human being. He knew he was sinless. But that's the same point with God. God knows we're sinners, but he wants us to live with him forever. And maybe that should bring a shocked look to our face. But don't stop there. Listen to his word. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Scared by our world? What can we do? The answer comes from God. It's 2,700 years old. It's a scripture on the screen right now. "For I am the Lord your God. I will hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not, I am the one who helps you." 365 times in the Bible it says, fear not. Maybe there's a message there. What does it mean when you repeat yourself to your children? 365 times. Don't live in fear. Live in faith of God. It's what we need. A father who loves us. A father who's there wherever we're at. You think of the practicality of this. These people who went into space today, they didn't get away from God. If you're serving in the military on an airplane, you're serving in a submarine, you're serving in a unit on the other side of the world, God is there. God is able to help those who come to him. We have many offers of salvation that are wrong in the world. Run it through your Bible. People say things like, well, just say the sinner's prayer. Run it through your Bible. What did the New Testament people do what did Paul do? If anybody was an exception on how to become a Christian, it could be Paul. He's going to write half the New Testament. He's going to be an apostle, Acts 22:16. Ananias said, Saul, what are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Calling on the name of the Lord. To call on the name of the Lord, defined by the Bible, is to arise and be baptized. Not to say his name out loud. Not to say a sinner's prayer. Great prayer. I cannot find anybody in the Bible saved that way. The lesson's yours. You've done very well. But the application is to seek the Lord, to study his word, to trust him, to follow him, believe in his grace. Most of all, believe he's on your side and wants you to live in heaven. If you know that you would die right now and go to hell, why don't you come to the Lord? If you're not sure and you need to talk and study, we'd be glad to do that. If it's a public response you need to make, why don't you come as we stand and sing.